This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Futuro.
From Futuro Media and PRX, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, Bianca Groló wants everyone to know that Puerto Rico is a U.S. colony. Bianca Groló is an independent journalist who's been using TikTok and YouTube to tell you what's going on in Puerto Rico, whether you live there or not. By explaining Puerto Rico's colonial relationship with the United States in English to an audience outside of the island, she's also gathered a huge following there as well. Her own top video has 11 million views. And that was before she teamed up with Bad Bunny on a report about displacement in Puerto Rico.
Están quienes llegan con ventajas y beneficios. Y están quienes llevan aquí toda una vida y ahora sienten que les quieren sacar.
Alana Casanova Burgess, host of the La Brega podcast from Futuro Studios and WNYC Studios, recently went to Puerto Rico to find out more about Groló's popularity and also to chat one-on-one with the journalist. Here's Alana with that story.
It was June, and I figured there was one place in Puerto Rico with a completely captive audience of TikTok users.
Con permiso, ¿les puedo hacer una preguntita?
Thousands of Bad Bunny fans were camping outside an arena for literally days, waiting to get tickets to his San Juan concerts. I was there to ask about Bianca Groló.
¿Conoces a Bianca Groló?
Bianca Groló.
Sí, la reportera de TikTok que se llama Bianca Groló.
It didn't take me long to find some fans, like Alina, who is 18.
He visto un montón.
She knows that Bianca used to be a reporter in the States.
Sí, entiendo que ella antes era reportera en los Estados Unidos.
But she quit her job in order to cover Puerto Rico, to expose us to the world.
Y ella como que decidió renunciar y bregar más lo que es la historia de Puerto Rico, ya que no se expone mucho al mundo.
Pienso que le da una oportunidad a la gente de afuera a entender lo que está pasando en la isla.
This is Jonathan. He likes that Bianca is letting people know that Puerto Rico is not a paradise for everyone.
Como que no todo es un paraíso.
Valeria is 21.
Pues de todo, de las injusticias del gobierno, de todo lo que está pasando, no solamente...
She connects with Bianca. It hurts to see all the gentrification and displacement. It's hard to feel like Puerto Rico is being taken away from Puerto Ricans.
Sentir que Puerto Rico se va de nuestras manos, que lo vamos a perder, es bien difícil.
The first Bianca Groló video I saw was the one that went viral in the summer of 2021.
Hi, TikTok. Today has been a really hard day.
For days, this footage of Bianca crying was all over my feed.
Hi, TikTok. Hi, TikTok.
On Twitter and Instagram, getting shared over and over again.
Hi, TikTok.
By friends in Puerto Rico.
Today I found out that the land behind my house, the one that you see in my videos all the time, where the horses that I give water to live, the land that gives me access to the beach, that land is being sold to a company that develops luxury apartments.
I had never seen this land or those horses in her video, but I knew what this was about. We all did.
You might have heard that Puerto Ricans are worried that our land is being bought up.
And although the land wasn't supposed to be developed, Bianca was also flagging that the government couldn't be trusted to protect it.
And everyone I talk to says those laws are not being respected, and that land that was supposed to be protected is getting developed.
I felt so powerless, and so many Puerto Ricans feel that way with everything happening here. As journalists, we're taught to not center ourselves in stories, to not let our emotions come through. But that was the day that I found out that an offer had been made and that it was accepted by the seller. And that's when I broke down. At that moment, I felt the urgency. And that's why I decided, you know what? I'm just going to share this. And I'm going to be transparent about the fact that this is an intersection between my professional life and my personal life. In the video, you hear me say, I've been investigating this for a story that I'm doing.
I happen to be doing a story about this before it hit so close to home.
It's literally behind my house. And I don't say this as a journalist. I say this as a Puerto Rican.
Not as a reporter, but as a Puerto Rican who's sad and scared.
Who's feeling the sadness of the possibility of our natural resources being impacted.
Where only the wealthy have access to our most beautiful natural resources.
I visited Bianca in Camuy on the northwest coast of the island. We scrambled under a barbed wire fence behind her home, and suddenly we were standing on that same plot of land I had watched Bianca tell millions of people about.
So the horses are still here?
Yep. Not the same horses. There used to be like 8 or 10 horses, and I don't know what has happened to some of them.
Wow, Mira, whose bone is that?
Who knows?
Who knows?
If you go in there, there's like a ton of bones. And look, there's another one there.
Yeah.
But still, it's lovely. A path winds through shrubs and trees. Birds are all around us.
Little hermit crab.
Yeah, here's another one.
So this land that we're on right now is the, what's the technical term for it?
So it's protected in the sense that there are limits to what can happen on this land. It's still private land, but the government has designated what use could be applied.
But the plot can only be used for agriculture. And it was recently sold, Bianca says, to someone from Camuy, who paid the asking price of around $1 million.
Compared to the first scenario, where it was going to be sold to a company that specialized in developing luxury apartments, it's a better case scenario. The whole concern was, even though the law says something, we have seen this happen in Puerto Rico before, that then you see those rules change for certain people, or they just don't follow those rules and they go do what they want and develop where they shouldn't.
This is happening all the time in Puerto Rico, and Bianca keeps her audience updated about a number of high-profile cases. This one happens to be in her backyard.
So it seems like in this scenario, the risk of that happening is lower. But it doesn't mean that we're going to stop paying attention. We're still going to be watching out for whatever happens here. So this is my little spot over here.
Okay.
It depends on how far down I want to go.
The trees part and we're on a cliff, a ravine leading down to a secluded beach.
I saw something down there. I don't know if it was a turtle.
The waves are sparkling blue even though it's a cloudy day. The air is salty. And the view is incredible.
I didn't really get to enjoy it growing up as much as I'm enjoying it now.
This is kind of a cheesy question, but is that true of all of Puerto Rico for you?
I think so. I was away for about 10 years, and then I came back and I was like, wow, I'm from Camuy. Camuy is beautiful. It's a treasure.
When you do your work and your reporting and you're showing beautiful things, do you ever worry about who's watching?
Yeah. I do, because people are discovering just how beautiful these places are, but not to just admire them and appreciate them for what they are, but to exploit them for profit. So yes, I do worry about that. And I show beautiful views in the context of my work, but I'm also very careful not to romanticize our towns, because Puerto Rico is paradise, but it's not the same kind of paradise for everyone. When you have to be working long hours to just pay your electricity bill, to put food on the table, you don't have the time to just enjoy. So I never want to show these views to give the false impression that everything here is just paradise living, because it's nuanced. Both things exist. We have a beautiful island with beautiful treasures at the same time that life here can be really hard.
One of the strangest things about Puerto Rico now, 5 years after Maria, is that despite the austerity crisis, despite blackouts that are both common and unpredictable, despite the heartbreak of so many Boricuas leaving to make a better life, other people are moving here. Most of them are coming from the States, coming to take advantage of tax incentives. But then there are also Puerto Ricans who have come back home despite the challenges, or perhaps because of them. At first, Bianca returned to help take care of her father, who had been seriously injured in a car crash. But then
the pandemic happened, so I kind of got stuck here. So once I was stuck here, I was like, why am I going back? So then I quit my job and I stayed.
Because, there's a lot of journalism to be done here.
So much, yeah. So much. And at that point, I didn't have it quite figured out, but I had a strong sense that I could do it on my own without working for a media company.
Bianca's early TikToks about Puerto Rico are short explainers on the basics. They're in English, and they're unpacking headlines for people who don't know much about the island, but they want to.
In my video about Puerto Rico's colonial history, a lot of you had questions about Puerto Rico's status. So, do Puerto Ricans want statehood? It's complicated. We have to tell you about the hurricanes, earthquakes, government corruption. But even against all those odds, there are some Puerto Ricans doing some amazing things. This is one of my favorite beaches in Puerto Rico. As you can see, now the water hits the rocks directly. And that's because sea level rise is swallowing Puerto Rico's beaches.
And then came the video about the land behind her home. A video that tapped into the sense that the whole island is for sale, that there's nothing anyone can do.
Puerto Ricans are worried that our land is being bought up.
Ever since then, Bianca's videos are constantly popping up in my feed. Bianca is tapping into something, and it's getting a huge audience in Puerto Rico, even if it's not necessarily made for them.
My most watched video on TikTok, I believe, has 11 million views. It is about Puerto Rico, and it is about the struggle to keep beaches public in Puerto Rico. I just did a video talking about La Junta, and it has 700,000 views. That video talked about Puerto Rico's colonial situation with an unelected board that makes financial decisions for the people of Puerto Rico.
Every 4th of July, I see this comic. Uncle Sam is lowering a basket that says Promesa. That's the law that created La Junta, or the oversight board that controls Puerto Rico's finances.
Those views, most of them are not coming from Puerto Rico. They're coming from people outside of here.
Do you imagine yourself doing similar work if you worked for a news outlet?
Not in the way I'm doing it now. Maybe there's an outlet out there that I don't know about that would allow me to do the kind of work I do in the way I do it, but not in my experience in the 8+ years working for media companies.
Say more about that. What's the difference?
I was constantly having conversations about the stories that I wanted to cover and how they always steered me to cover something else or to cover that story in a different way. I worked for local news stations where they just insisted that I had to somehow talk about how Hurricane Maria happening in Puerto Rico was going to affect the pockets of people living in St. Petersburg, Florida. And that just made me go crazy. Why can't we just talk about how people in Puerto Rico are being affected by this? And if you want any connection, then let's talk about the bigger picture, what's really already there. They'll make me twist and turn to find an angle that's not there. In other newsrooms, it was focusing on the tragedy and the appeal of the horrible images, but shying away from the complex topics that I knew could be simplified, but they didn't really trust that, and they didn't trust that people would care. This is why my work is in English, because I am speaking to that audience who has a vague sense of what Puerto Rico is and what Puerto Ricans go through, but don't really understand it in that colonial context.
Now some Puerto Ricans are having to pack their bags and move out.
Nos están sacando de nuestro lugar. Cuando abramos nuestros ojos, no vamos a tener isla y vamos a ser un Puerto Rico sin puertorriqueños.
And as more Puerto Ricans are feeling displaced, tensions are rising.
So yes, I try to make it as simple and basic as possible while also addressing very complex issues. So when people ask, what makes Puerto Rico a colony, and you have to explain something as complicated as an oversight management and financial board, that can get really boring really quickly. So I just try to connect that to the real life examples that Puerto Ricans are living. You know, when Puerto Ricans think about La Junta, they think about the shutdown schools. And I try to make those connections because everyone can understand what it would mean for their community to lose their local school. Here's where colonialism comes in, because the order to make cuts to education came from the board that was imposed by the U.S. on Puerto Rico. Years later, we find out there were no savings as a result of the closure of schools, but the kids still suffered the consequences.
Do you think that people would have these questions or this interest if not for Hurricane Maria?
Yes. I just think Hurricane Maria was this big national story that everyone found out about, but you can look at what happened in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, and you can react with pobrecitos. Poor Puerto Ricans can't catch a break. That's just nature. Like, what are you going to do about it, right? It's just bad luck. Or you can see how it wasn't just a natural disaster. It was also everything that came after and how that connects to colonialism and say, wow, there are people responsible here and there is a possibility of making this better. Why aren't we? So Hurricane Maria was that big story that reached people around the world. But we have things happen every single day that I do believe are of interest for people around the world. If only we know how to put that information in a way that reaches people that is easily digestible.
So if we imagine that those people are living in the United States, learning about the colonial existence of Puerto Rico, I mean, also for people who are listening to this interview right now, what do you want them to feel?
As a journalist, I want them to know. Like, that's the simplest answer. I just want them to be aware. The point is not to make anyone feel guilty, but the government is held accountable by its people. There's plenty of evidence that shows that Puerto Rico's colonial status has a huge effect on Puerto Ricans every single day. And I just think that information is important for everyone to know, especially for the people whose federal government is responsible. I felt like that's a conversation that we have locally a lot, but it doesn't necessarily reach the people who can hold that government accountable. So for me, it's important that the people watching who don't live in Puerto Rico know the responsibility the U.S. government has with Puerto Rico. What they do with that information is completely out of my hands. But yes, to me, it's super important that they just know about it. And I get so many questions of what can I do? And I'm busy enough just trying to get the information out there. There's no way I can sit down and give you a guide of what to do. But other people take it from there for different things and whatever their viewpoint is. Because I'm not advocating for one specific cause. I am giving you the information and then people can take it in so many different ways.
When we cover corruption here, for example, on the island, there's this fear that I know I have that people will see that and think like, oh my God, this is such a corrupt place.
I think about this all the time. So how do you include all those layers while still keeping it simple? In Puerto Rico, there is corruption. A lot of people have faced charges because of corruption. That doesn't mean that everything that goes wrong in Puerto Rico is simply because of corruption. End of story. So how do you include all those angles
when you're doing like a minute and a half on TikTok?
Exactly. So for me, if I only have a minute on TikTok, people know that my content is about Puerto Rico in the colonial context. And every now and then I do have to talk like so-and-so who faced charges for corruption, but it's just not my focus because there's plenty of coverage on that people can find. But I don't think there's enough coverage on the colonial context of Puerto Rico, and that is what I cover.
Sometimes you share about your mental health and how you're doing and how you're feeling. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
In general, I'm feeling good. I just have my moments, you know? I do suffer from anxiety, and sometimes I have bouts of depression. And I just think it's such a common experience that other people have taught me the power in being vulnerable about it. And that's the only reason I felt the courage to share it. And it still felt weird. And I still had this voice in my head that said, who cares? You're supposed to only talk on social media to inform people about the news. At the same time that I just wanted to connect with the people who follow and support me. I want that community to know what's going on because I know I'm going to have to go quiet for a couple of weeks. And I just want people to know there are always going to be urgent stories to get to and that I have to
slow down, take deep breaths, and take some days off if I want to do this long term.
That's good to hear.
When I go out and report, I always hear that mental health angle to all these stories. So I always look for a way to sort of include that in there, but it's such a deeply personal yet abstract story that I have yet to really delve into it.
In your TikToks, it used to be a lot about your brother and his girlfriend or growing basil or whatever.
Take a look at these planter boxes. They're already using them to grow food.
And now it's significantly less of that and more explainers. So I wonder what is happening there.
That's so funny. Sometimes I wonder if people have noticed that transition, but you're totally right. And that has been part of the conscious steps in order to protect myself from all the emotions related to social media.
But like you're sharing less of yourself?
I'm sharing less of myself, but more importantly, I don't see everything as content anymore. And I think in the past, it was this pressure that my mind was constantly on because that was a potential piece of content that somehow tied into a bigger story in Puerto Rico that I needed to be telling all the time. So if I saw my brother and his girlfriend growing food, then I was like, I could tell a story about this because in Puerto Rico, we need to grow food and I need to be recording this. Now I could just be in the moment and be like, let's grow this basil.
So they didn't really know why I was recording them, but I thought the world should know how cool they are.
As we get to the anniversary of Hurricane Maria, what are your questions that are outstanding? Or are you even thinking about the anniversary that much?
I'm thinking about the issues that remain unresolved and how we still live them. How is it that some people still don't have safe housing because they lost their housing during Maria? How is it that we still don't have renewable energy that is more reliable for Puerto Ricans? And those are the issues that I think about all the time and that I cover.
But as a person, are you feeling it any differently?
As a person, I'm worried about hurricane season. I'm thinking about all the things that I have to prepare for. And I'm thinking about how I'm going to manage if I don't have electricity for a few months. So on a personal level, I'm scared. I know just how much scarier it is, especially for people who did go through Maria and who have those horrible memories and are really scared that it could happen again. I think como que nos sacudió. It just woke us up to so many realities. And it absolutely has impacted my life. The fact that I am learning to grow food is because it just became so apparent to us that we can't just be completely depending on imports because people literally went hungry after the hurricane. I mean, we saw it after the hurricane, just so many people giving their time and money and efforts to help people here. So that's very beautiful to see, just how people, even when it's not a time of crisis like the hurricane, if you tell them about a story like I did with the land, people immediately are asking, how can we help? And it's not just Puerto Ricans in the diaspora, it's people around the world who want to help somehow.
Bianca, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for coming to Camuy.
Beautiful Camuy. Now I know how to get to that view. We're not going to tell anybody about it.
Yeah, let's keep it a secret. Yeah.
This episode was produced by Alana Casanova Verges and Monica Morales Garcia. It was edited by Julio Ricardo Varela and mixed by Julia Caruso and Leah Shaw Dameron. The Latino USA team includes Andrea Lopez Cruzado, Marta Martinez, Daisy Contreras, Mike Sargent, Julieta Martinelli, Victoria Estrada, Reynaldo Leaños Jr., Alejandra Salazar, Patricia Zulbarán, and Julia Rocha, with help from Raúl Pérez. Our editorial director is Fernanda Santos. Our director of engineering is Stephanie LeBeau. Our associate engineers are Gabriela Baez and JJ Carubin. Our marketing manager is Luis Luna. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. Don't forget to subscribe to La Brega from Futuro Studios and WNYC Studios wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on social media and acuérdate, no te vayas. Chao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation creates a brighter future for the nation's children by strengthening families, building greater economic opportunity, and transforming communities. The Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. And funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.